when you feel fatigued, when you want to say no, when you don't want to go to the gym, when you don't want to make that sales call, when you don't want to get your funnel working, when you don't want to start new, when you don't want to say no to someone you should say no to, or say yes to someone else you should say yes to. Literally for me still, I fall back on my why. And when I think of my kids and going backwards and being in control, I could push through anything. Nothing will stop me. A bad day. I think that's the wrong question when you see somebody successful. I think it's more of like asking them either what their why was or how they overcame obstacles or how they persevered.
Welcome to the Dean Graziosi Show. All success starts right here.
Seven Levels Deep was probably the biggest impact, the biggest thing in the impact of my life ever.
Really?
Yeah. One day. So I hired a guy named Joe Stump. Do you know Joe Stump?
No.
Great guy. He's in the marketing world, but I hired him because I want more engagement with my students. So it's all about, if you can get somebody to digest some of your book, if somebody will read 30 pages of your book, they'll read the whole book. But how do you get them to the first 30 pages? So I'm always obsessing and trying to create ethical bribes, whatever I can do to get you to take action, right? We know books work. It's the books and the action. So I was anyway, so Joe comes in and I said, I want to do whatever I can. And he said, have you ever done the Seven Levels Deep? I don't know where he got it from. This is probably about 8 years ago. She was two. So about 8 years ago. And I said, if it's good, just give it to me.
Right.
I'll take it. I'll take it. And he's like, I want to go through it with you. I'm like, listen. And I paid Joe 10 grand for half a day of consulting at the time. And he's like, I said, I want to go through it. I just want it. He goes, I won't give it to you unless you do it. So we sit there. And what the Seven Levels Deep is finding, everybody wants to know your purpose and what's this meaning of life and what's my why and all that. I get it. And it's kind of played out. But I don't know if anything really gets to the heart of it as simple as this. So what it basically was, he's like, why would you give me 10 grand for half a day? And I said, because I want to create a company that stands out from everybody else. I want to engage more students, change more lives. And he basically said to me, that's a really great answer. So I asked you why I'm here. And you said, you want to engage more students and get more people to change their lives. So why is it important for you to engage more students and change people's lives? And I remember saying, you know, there's a lot of people in this industry that shouldn't be here, and there's some great people. I want to help rise all boats of the good and push the rest down. I want to leave a legacy for my kids. So he said, okay, I asked you why you pay me 10 grand. I'm not going to go through this whole thing. And he's like, you did this, you know, you said you wanted to stand out and you wanted to leave a legacy. So why is it important to leave a legacy? And the whole point is asking the previous question seven times. Mm. I took that day. By the time I got to the third question, what happens is the third, when there was three questions left, I should say, he asked me four times, it switched from my head to my heart. And I felt my physiology change. I felt my emotions change. I felt like tears welling up. And when he asked me, and I don't even remember what the fourth thing I said, but the third thing I said was, I never want to go backwards. And it got me thinking about things I haven't thought about in years. Wow. I didn't like being the kid with hand-me-downs, and I'd make my parents drop me off down the street with their junky car, and I'd go to lunch. And this is not a poor me. My life was designed to be exactly the way it was, or I wouldn't be the man or the father I am today. But there was days I'd go to school without lunch money, and I just tell my buddies I'm not hungry because we didn't have a buck, right? So I never want to go back there. And I felt that emotion, and it hit me so hard. I'm like, that's what it is. And he's like, well, there's two more left. So he said, Dean, why is it important that you never go backwards? And I'm like, God, I don't know. And it hit me, and I thought, my kids, I just want to give them options. I don't want to raise entitled kids or brats, but I want to give them options that I didn't have. And I'm like, that's it. So he's like, well, that's not really it, because it's seven. It's not nine. It's not five. It's seven levels deep. And by now, I'm crying because I'm thinking about my kids, literally. And I got half my staff there, and I'm like just weeping. And it came to me. He said, why is that important? And it just hit me. And I never knew why I worked so hard since I was cutting firewood in high school and did all this stuff. I said, I need to be in control of my life. And these emotions flooded in my parents. Everybody's got their thing, right? But for me, and I'm saying this because I want you at home to be, or when you're watching this, listen to this. I realized that my parents were married nine times when I was a kid. So I moved 20 times by the time I was 19. Different stepbrothers, stepsisters.
Both parents were married.
Five for my dad.
Wow.
Five for my mom, four for my dad.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's crazy. Always moving. Like military kids know what that feels like, right? Wow. So I'd be in a cul-de-sac with a new stepdad, stepbrothers, stepsisters, have the bike, come home one day, and my mom's like, we're moving again. And then I move in with my dad, move in with my grandmother. So I had this crazy hopscotch my whole childhood.
No certainty.
There was no certainty. So what I realized at that moment, literally, I'm bawling loose. I mean, like literally crying. It's like, I don't want anybody to ever tell me when to move, how to dress, how to live, how to work, who, how I'm going to raise my kids. It's definitely not going to kiss somebody's ass for money.
Right.
Right. And I realized at that moment, my why was I don't want to be a control freak. I just want to be in control. When I was 27, I retired both my parents. I stopped worrying about them. Wow. I took care of my grandmother. I take care of some, like, so I got those problems out of the way. And when I anchored that in, and you watching at home, it's like, if you think you're watching this because you want to be an entrepreneur, you want, or you already are, if you're watching this, you've already had great success in your life. You want that next level, or maybe it's income, or better health, or better diet, or better physiology, whatever it is you want. So many times we think it's because I want to get out of that job. I want this freedom. I just want more money. I want to take the better vacations. And it's seven times deeper than that.
Hmm.
And when you find that, and the reason I know this, not only because it wasn't just transformational to me, is I did live events in Las Vegas for 6 years straight. Every single month, there was 400 people in the room that paid $20,000 to go to
real estate events, right?
Real estate events. So about 5.5 years, I did them every month in Las Vegas. So once a month, I'd fly in, and that was like the highest level. And I'd pick somebody out of the audience and I'd say, come on up, let's do this seven levels deep. Like, I got it, man. I know what it is. And I'm like, okay. So like, I'm gonna give you a quick example. I won't beat this up, but this is so important.
Yeah.
Because when you feel fatigued, when you want to say no, when you don't want to go to the gym, when you don't want to make that sales call, when you don't want to get your funnel working, when you don't want to start new, when you don't want to say no to someone you should say no to, or say yes to someone else you should say yes to, literally for me still, I fall back on my why. And when I think of my kids and going backwards and being in control, I could push through anything. Nothing will stop me. A bad day, I don't know what it's like to be sick, because my mind, I can program my brain to just power through because I focus foundationally on this why.
Right, right.
So I remember this guy, he was awesome. This big dude, he had dreadlocks. He was like 6'7". I mean, 6'5". He was huge, this awesome dude. He comes up. He's like, man, I like, pick me up. He gives me this big hug. He's like, so I said, why are you here? He's like, I already know, dude, you're not going to get seven levels on me. You're not gonna. I've already done the exercise. He says, I'm here because in my neighborhood, there's no dads. There's not enough dads in my neighborhood. I grew up without a dad. These kids need dads. So I'm making money in real estate and I'm starting this youth group. I already had dad. We get dads together and we go spend these days. He had this amazing story. And I melted on the first one. And I said, well, why is that important? He goes, dude, what do you mean, why is that important to you? Of course it's important. And he's laughing, he's joking, and he gives me another reason. I want more money because I want to build a building for it. But I could tell he was still in his head.
Uh-huh.
He gets the number 2 or 1 and his everything changed on him. He gets small and he starts crying. I mean, like uncontrollable crying. And he gets to his number 1. He's like, my mom raised a good boy, but when she died 9 years ago, I was a drug addict. Mm. And she never saw the man she created. And she said, I'm showing her in heaven what a man she, I mean, I'm saying it right now. I
wow.
got physical good. Yeah. He said that. And I said, he said, I'll never stop now. I'll never stop. And again, we all have our own reasons for doing stuff. But when you get to the heart of why you're watching, why you do what you do, it's so much deeper than what you think. And I forget sometimes. I hope I don't sit here and seem like I got my life all figured out. I've been blessed to have more. I've had more blessings in my life than I ever could imagine. If somebody would have told me at 25, this is where I'd be, I'd say impossible. So I appreciate my blessings, but I'm not perfect at all this stuff, but when I practice these habits, when I think through this, when I recognize my why, the days that I'm off track, the days I think I bit off more than I can chew, or the days where I feel like I plateaued, when I go back to that why, it's like game over. You're not getting in my way. Nothing is.
Wow. Got me emotional. What is the, you've achieved so much over the years. You know, you said in the first 18 months, $150 million in sales, you know, and that was 20 years ago. And the things you've created now,
10 years ago,
and the things you've created now, you've created so much. You've impacted so many lives. It sounds like you don't need to work or need to keep pushing.
Yeah.
But why do you, what's the dream and why do you keep going after it?
So I think it's three things. So real quick, I think there's three types of entrepreneurs. There's an entrepreneur who wants to work under the blanket of someone else, right? They're the company, they're the person that's in a company. You're like, man, that guy, that woman, they want to rise up through the ranks and be an entrepreneur, but kind of with the safety net. And it doesn't make them better or worse than anybody else. It's that, I mean, without the implementers in your life, without the team, who would I be without the amazing people on my team? Secondly, there's lifestyle entrepreneurs. Like my buddy Dean Jackson, he's got this I know I'm being successful when list. This is cool. For anybody who's got a lifestyle entrepreneur, there's just a certain amount of money. He says, I know I'm being successful when I don't have an alarm clock in my house and it never goes off. I wear black t-shirts every day and no one gives a shit.
Yeah.
I golf at least 5 times a week.
Right.
I live on a $50,000 a month net income. I live like, what do you say? I live like an artist with a trust fund, except I don't know how to paint. So he's got this, he has this list. He knows he's being successful when, and that's lifestyle entrepreneur. And then there's entrepreneurs that just want to keep, they're accomplishment based. It has nothing to do with the money. They thought it was the money. And I think this was me. They thought it was when I get the money and success out of the way, then I could stop worrying. And it's not. It's the next accomplishment. What can you do?
It's the game.
It's the game. And I think it converts. That's why you see somebody like Richard Branson that his whole life now is Virgin Unite. Mm. You know, his charity. I spent a couple weeks with him out in his island because me and Joe Polish raised $1 million for him. So we got to spend time with him. And he started that same process, made all the money, and then now he's still driven. But now it's how many more schools he can build in Africa. Mm. So it never changes. But always have your focus on something. Like you see people who go to, you know, Warren Buffett. His age, he's still crushing because he has a bigger purpose. We always have to have that. So I would say, a couple of years ago, especially when the kids are young, I was thinking of, should I just cash out and spend 10 years being a dad? But I wouldn't be the best me. I love accomplishing. I love creating. I love something new.
What do you want to accomplish in your life? What's the big thing?
The big thing is, I'm first and foremost, I'd love to say it's, you know, I'd say top two is showing people an easier path. I think most people are they're driving 100 miles an hour and they don't know where to go. It's like even if they got a Ferrari engine, they don't have any GPS. And it's like everybody's going fast. And most of the time they think it's going to be this dramatic, spectacular thing. And a lot of teams, it's the same thing that they could have learned from Dale Carnegie or Earl Nightingale or Napoleon Hill or somebody. You know, it's just these simple core things that can make them slow down and achieve. And I think that I have the ability to deliver a message in a way that it sticks. And that's what I've been blessed to do in real estate. Is it's not that I had found the only way to make money in real estate, but I was the biggest real estate educator in the entire world. There was nobody even close to me. It was like second through 20th place didn't make up the volume
Right.
And there was other guys that were great at education. I just think I found a way to deliver it. It's probably because of my dyslexia and my learning disabilities and stuff. I found a way to give people recipes. So I would say a big fuel is getting people these strategies in their hands so they could see there's a better way. But the number one is to just be a totally present and impactful father. Mm. Like it's just where I'm at. And it's magical age. Anybody who's watching it remembers their kids 8, 10 years old. It's like, I'm still Superman. They still love me.
In 2, 3 years, it's downhill.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So I'm going to absorb it while I can, you know.
That's cool.
A couple of years, I might have a new thing for trying to get teenagers to like you or something. I don't know.
Sure. What's the thing people misunderstand about you the most?
I would say because I did infomercials for years. Tony and I had this conversation. A lot of times when somebody sees you on an infomercial, it's like, oh, that guy's got to be a huckster. He's just schlepping books on an infomercial. So I think the biggest misconception is that I'm an introvert. When I'm on stage or on camera or an interview, I love it. But if I go to my kid's school function, there's a whole bunch of people around. I'm the one hiding in the corner or playing with the kids. I'm not a networker. I've never had a business card in my entire life. And I think some people, when they see that, if they're looking from afar, if they don't come up and shake my hand, people will say, oh, that guy, he's too good for everybody. He doesn't talk to anybody. I really don't know. I'm hiding.
Sure.
Right? So I would say that. And I think the infomercial thing, you know, I got one more thing about Tony Robbins. The first time I met him about 5 years ago, I go up to his hotel room. He's doing a date with Destiny, invites me up for lunch. And I get there and we're talking for like 15 minutes. And he stands up and he picks up and he gives me a hug. And he says, I got to apologize to you. He's like, I almost canceled this meeting today because you were an infomercial guy. And he goes, I made a judgment. And he goes, what an ass, because I was the infomercial guy.
Yeah.
He goes, I've been trying to run away from it because people look at you and wonder. And he said, and I judged you wrong. And we've been really close since then. So I think that those two things are probably the biggest.
Wow. So I'm surprised you still do infomercials then, if you think so many people, you know.
Yeah, you know what? So I don't mind because it's all about the message.
Yeah.
I want to get my message out there. I've been off TV for 2.5 years on purpose, by choice. But with Millionaire Success Habits, I ran across Larry King, who was a big impact in my life. We met. I said, do you want to do a show? You're the one who inspired me to do sit down infomercials.
So he interviewed you.
He interviewed me. And the funny thing is, so I'm going to digress here for a minute.
Yeah.
I'm going to digress on two things that are really funny. So 8, 9 years ago, I'm watching Larry King interview Joel Osteen. He says to Joel, I'm guessing 9, 10 years ago. He says to Joel, I'm a Jew. I don't believe in Jesus. That means I'm going to hell. I'm like, oh my God, could you imagine getting asked that on Larry King where there's millions of people watching? Joel like turned different colors. He didn't know how to answer. And if you don't know who Joel Osteen is, like the biggest pastor in the world, right? So I see that and I remember thinking, oh my God, could you imagine if Larry just looked at the camera and said, hey, like Joel or not, if you'd like to get his book, call our show. And that's what inspired me to do a Larry King show. I just thought, so I raced and I built a set like Larry King. I spent $4,000 for King's microphone, right? I did all this stuff. I do an interview and that was my big breakout show. That's when my company went from 10, 15 million a year. We broke $100 million in a year within 18 months because of that sit down live.
It's with the other guy. It's like the bald guy or the balding guy.
Yeah, we had different guys. Okay, yeah, we had different guys through the years, but we did all these different things, right? So I say that. And so Larry King inspired me to do that. It was just the now that's everybody cool. does sit down interviews, but I was the first one out there and the first one who sold a book
direct on the infomercial.
On the infomercial, direct to consumer. So we sell the book. Larry makes an impact in my life. He doesn't know it. Fast forward years. Now Larry comes. I haven't used that set in ages. We wheel it back out because Larry's coming, to do this interview. And I'm nervous, like I'm a little kid. Larry King's coming. I mean, I know you know Larry.
Larry's sitting right here when I interviewed him. Yeah.
Yeah. So Larry comes and he gets there, and we go to dinner that night. And the next day, he comes in the studio, and I'm telling him this story. And he's kind of not paying attention to me. And he looks over and he goes, "You know, the mic is supposed to be here."
No way.
And he moved it. I was just like, "Oh, this is so amazing." And we just riffed. He goes, "Do you have questions for me?" I said, "Here's my goal, Larry. I do. I have all your questions and are loaded on a teleprompter. But why don't you just start?" Show like you always start your shows when you say to somebody, "Why this book? Why now?" He used to say that all the time. And he goes, "Dean, you don't need this. Why the hell are you doing a book now?" And we just riffed for a half hour. And so that's everybody watching. You guys will see that show.
So there's no questions he really used off the prompter. He just went off one or two.
Yeah, and we rocked it. And the show tested. It's solid. It'll be out in February. Wow. So can I tell you a really funny story? Larry, he's an amazing joke teller.
Amazing joke and storyteller.
Oh my God, there's nobody better in the
jokes place. For days.
Yeah, and I don't know if you know who Harvey McKay is.
Yes.
Swimming Sharks. So last Friday, Larry came to my office and Harvey's there.
Wow.
They're there for 2 hours. I'm between these two, 83 and 84 years old. They got more history and stories and they're just outdoing each other with stories. It's nonstop. And they'd look at me and I'd be like, "I got nothing. Just you guys keep going."
Do your thing.
So Larry for like all the years he's doing live with Larry King, he has a producer who's like a prankster. Mm. And he said, but big time, really good at what he does. Wow. And he said, anytime that someone was in the office a little off or grumpy, they'd get him. So he said they had this guy, I don't know what department, but he was kind of a pain in the ass, for lack of a better word.
Sure.
So they wanted to get him. So the guy came in every day structured. He came in with his briefcase, his hat, his overcoat. He'd hang his hat, hang his overcoat up, and go to work. So they went and found the hat, the exact hat, and bought one two sizes too small.
Oh my gosh.
So every day he'd come in, they let him go for a week where he'd go to put the hat on.
No way.
And he couldn't get over his head. Like me, I'd have to tell the guy like in a day. So the guy's freaked out. He's coming in off, like just off. He thinks his head's swelled.
Oh
right?
My gosh.
So then they didn't just leave it there. I'm like, "Then you told him?" He goes, "No." He goes, "Then we bought a hat two sizes too big."
Shut up.
And we left that there for a week. And he said he was rolling up paper and stuffing it in his hat.
No way.
And I'm like, oh my God. I mean, but Larry tells that story so amazing. Oh, and then they finally told him after 2 weeks.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, wow. I didn't mean to digress. It was just a funny story.
No, it's amazing. Is there any question that you wish more people would ask you that they don't ask?
God, that's a really good question. Yeah, probably how to get, I think, and I watched this when we did the fundraiser with Richard Branson, we went there. I watched everybody trying to ask him, like, "How'd you get to be a billionaire?" And I think that's the wrong question when you see somebody successful. I think it's more of like asking them either what their why was or how they overcame obstacles or how they persevered. Mm-hmm. So I think, and I don't think it's about the story. It's just, I think so many people give up on the 5 yard line. I think so many of you are just there and you think it's so much heavier. When you start playing at a higher level, there's not a lot of competition.
No.
And I'm not doing much different. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not doing much different now than I did to start my collision shop and start my auto sales. I'm doing the same thing, just on a bigger scale. I still have to overcome negativity. I still have to get out of bed. I still am stressed some days. And there's some days I question myself. There's some days I make bad decisions. And it's just how you get over them, how you handle it, and how you go forward is everything.
Yeah.
And you say that, and I'm talking and thinking at the same time, and I don't know how much time we have left, but I would say the last thing, or one of the last things I'd love people to really think about is their thoughts. Have you ever read The Untethered Soul?
No.
It's a, gotta put it on your list. Okay. How about Eckhart Tolle, The Power Now?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Read that? I have. Yes.
Okay. So, and Untethered Soul is, for me, it's that and so much more. It's a great book.
Wow.
So I don't know if you had another question. So I'll reframe that. It's that one.
Yes.
But if it's one specific question, I'd love for people to say, how do you be the observer of your thoughts? Hmm. And that's something.
So how do you?
Yeah. And that's something and the only reason I say this is because I've been obsessed with it for the last 3 years. Because I want to be the observer of thoughts immediately. And I'm not there yet. I want it to trigger. Because when you're having a bad day, an angst day, a stressful day, you feel off or overwhelmed, most of the time it's just the thoughts we're having in that particular day. And when you can look back and view those thoughts, you can make a decision to throw them out or not let that spin you up or feel it for 10 minutes and then throw it out. But when you leave them there, they just linger. And the more I've become aware of my thoughts, the more I've evolved as a person. So I'm sitting here because my daughter, you're probably bored to death, hon. Love you. She's doing great over there. I'm going to tell a story about her. I am trying to observe my thoughts as they happen. Yeah. So I don't know if she'll remember this, but we were, and I'm sharing this as my story, but I want you to put yourself in these shoes. This could be your husband, your wife, your kids, your coworker, your partner, people you do business with, employer, employees, but we're at breakfast and breakfast is really important to our family. We have breakfast every single day and I cook for them most of the time. And so we sit at breakfast and we try to have conversations about gratitude and all this kind of stuff. And my son, Brody, was obsessed with these crayons. And they were like these crazy colors. They weren't red. They were like aqua blue, marine, something.
Sure.
So I'm sitting there using them and I pull it out. I go, God, this is a cool color. And he names it. And I'm telling you for a reason. So I pull out another. He names all, I was at 25 or 50 in that pack. So he names all of them, these big long names. I'm like, dude, what an incredible gift. I couldn't memorize these if I spent a month trying.
Right.
It's not how my brain thinks. But that's him. He's this structured, organized kid. Huh. So Bree, she says to me, I can do that. So I don't know if you remember this, hon, but she studied it. And like 5 minutes later on the second one, she didn't remember. I'm like, we're all blessed with different gifts. I couldn't remember. He does that, but my daughter's the inventor. She comes up with ideas that are real, not kid inventions. She's going to be amazing. She's going to be the visionary. My son's going to be the implementer. If you ever read Rocket Fuel, that's the two kids I have. I have an implementer and a visionary, right? So when she tried, all of a sudden, she got upset and started almost crying. And she said, because there was so much attention going to my son.
Of course.
And she says, Dad, it's because you spend more time with Brody than me in the mornings.
Mm.
And I remember just having the immediate thought that may have came from my dad or the way I was brought up. And I said to her, Bree, don't lie to me and don't lie to yourself. That's not true. I work my butt off to be completely equal. And you're telling yourself a lie. It's not a good story. And I went on this rant and she tucked it up. She stopped tears. She tucked it up. It was the first time ever that she left the house without kissing me goodbye ever. And I'm like, well, she just got to learn that lesson.
Yeah.
And she left for about a half hour. And I, like, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, I observed that thought I had. And what I basically told my daughter is that I didn't give a shit about her feelings, that it didn't matter how she felt.
Right.
That Dad was right. Tuck it down. I said, if she was married to a man and I watched her try to tell her husband about her feelings, how she was feeling, and he basically told her to shut up and tuck it down, I'd have a talk with that dude.
Right.
If he's married to my daughter. And I treated my daughter that way. I got in my car because I'm sharing this because I practiced trying to observe what's going on. Why am I feeling this way? What is this thought I'm having? Step back, look at it. When I stepped back and looked at it, I knew I screwed up. I drove to school 100 miles an hour.
Even if you were right.
Even if I was right. No, I might have been right that I keep equal time.
Yes.
But I didn't acknowledge her feelings.
Exactly.
I didn't acknowledge her feelings. I mean, and that's the gift of selling. It's not what people need. It's what they want and how they feel, right? So I told her feelings were off. I drove to her school 100 miles an hour. You were at chapel. Do you remember I came and got you out of chapel? I got her out of chapel and I walked her outside and I said, Dad screwed up. I said, I may have been right in context, but I wasn't right in telling you your emotions mean something, your feelings mean something. And we had a great talk. We hugged, we kissed. Her and I had the best relationship in the world. And I left. And I felt amazing. And she felt amazing. Mm. And I never would have caught that if I wasn't observing my thoughts. So I say that story about my family, my daughter who's sitting here right now. But who are you not? You know, what thoughts are clouding your judgment in a marriage or in a relationship or in your partnership or trying to get a raise or taking your life to another level? Whatever it is in your life, most of the time it's those thoughts that are messing with us. And if you can you can observe them, you can adjust them.
Amazing, man. I've got a few final questions for you. This has been great. This one's called The Three Truths.
Okay.
So it's many, many years down the line. You've achieved everything you want, but it's your last day. It's your last day here.
Okay.
Right? And you know it's the last day. Your whole family is there, friends, yeah. Everything. For whatever reason, all your books have been erased from time.
Okay.
I know you've sold hundreds of millions of them at this point. Yeah. They're all gone.
Okay.
And someone in your family comes up and says, I have a piece of paper and a pen. And all you get to do is write down three things you know to be true about everything you've experienced in your life. The three simple truths or the three lessons that is all we would remember you by physically. Because yeah. all the stuff in the books is gone. What would be the three truths for you?
Wow. What a great question. I'm glad I didn't know that one in advance because I would have thought about it too much. That's really good. I think the three truths are that it's not the objects. It's the things that we get to experience. So you can't buy your way. I had a lot of pain as a kid, which we all have. And I know I thought for a time in my life that money would fix that. And there's nothing more than the experience. My daughter's on her first trip with me as a business trip. This is worth millions to me. I'd give up all my books to have that. So it's the moments and the experience, not the things, is one. I would say, that I lived true. Okay. This is a really good question. Sorry.
It's all good.
But, I would say success is easier than people think. Like I think there's a lot of days I'm like, man, when is everybody going to figure out I'm not that smart? I'm just being honest. I literally for years, I would say people are going to figure out I'm not that smart. I'm just enthusiastic and I have the momentum. And so I would say that truth is don't be overprepared, be overly enthusiastic and committed. Mm. And I would say last is, that I found a way to let thoughts be things, not who I am. If thoughts can be automatically a thing, but not who I am at my soul, then I lived a good life.
As always, our podcast is free. We don't even sell advertising space. So how you could pay us back is by helping other people get this information in their hands. So if you enjoyed today's podcast, go ahead and take a second and rate and review the show and tell a friend. Heck, take a snapshot and put it on your Instagram. It's the best way for you to help other action takers get the knowledge they need to live into their full potential. And if you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe now to get access to new episodes 3 times a week. And as always, you can go to the description for this podcast and check out the special links I shared with you to take your success, freedom, and abundance to a whole nother level.